Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey you guys, welcome to Steel Wars. I am comedian Steel Saunders and I do love Star Wars. Please enjoy this classic clip, which is available in full at patreon.com/Steel Wars.
Let's talk about Pulp Empire. Of course, Pulp Fiction is a Star Wars-esque landmark film.
It is, yeah, but it's not just, like, the name is obviously Pulp Empire, but the idea was to mash up Tarantino's style, that sense of fun, breaking the fourth wall, text all over the screen, really fun music, and smash it together with Star Wars. The way I felt I could justify it, other than it being a fun idea, was that there's those themes of East meets West in Tarantino, like in Kill Bill, for example, and in Empire, where you've got cowboys and you've also got the mysticism and the Buddhism side with Yoda and stuff.
George Lucas borrowed heavily from Kurosawa.
Yep, exactly. And so the references are similar. So it felt like it was going to work. I did the prologue bit first in black and white to try and mirror what's going on in Kill Bill Volume 1, that black and white opening that's in the middle of the action, and then you go back and figure out what that was all about.
Yeah.
And as soon as that clicked together, I was like, yeah, this is worth doing, and yeah, pursued with the edit.
It's very cool. It's so fun. Like, they're two of the coolest things ever.
They are.
Pulp Fiction or Tarantino films and Star Wars. Like, when Pulp Fiction came out, I'm not sure how we knew that the film was going to be awesome, but the first... It screened at Southland, which is about a... probably like an hour away from where I grew up in Rosebud, a day early. So, we drove to Southland to watch it.
Yeah, right.
And loved it so much that we then... It started the next day in Rosebud and we went every day for a week.
Full on.
Just getting... we were like 20, so it was... Yeah. And it was in summer, so we were doing nothing. And but each day we'd get more people to come. Like, it would sort of spread. And it was... I remember my you know, we were like 20 and my friend Clint's girlfriend was 17 and she had to sneak in every night because it was rated R.
Yeah, nice one.
It was very tight and we all... were desperate to get one of those pineapple hamburgers. If McDonald's had hit, if they came out with that pineapple hamburger that summer, it would have been on.
It would have been.
They finally would have found
some
success.
The Big Kahuna Burger. Yeah, absolutely. I just love the way that Tarantino takes a genre and hypercharges it.
You know,
it just adds in this great music and snappy dialogue and suddenly it takes a familiar genre and just, yeah, makes it this mind-blowing thing.
So, it sort of starts with there's... I don't want to spoil too much, but it does start... The opening scene is pretty much Luke hanging from the weather vane.
And he's just had the revelation, but we don't know what the revelation is yet.
Yeah.
So, that it sets up the idea that this is going to be about what was said on that balcony that made him jump. And the themes follow, you know, their relationship and how that all evolves. So, the way I wanted to Tarantinoize it just generally is... First and foremost, replace all of John Williams' music with music mostly featured in Tarantino films, which he, of course, borrowed from other films, but also a few other selections just for fun. As well as that, have long-running singular chapters just with the same characters as Tarantino tends to do, broken up with chapter headings, throw text up on the screen, give each character a little hero montage, and just see what happens. So, it was a heap of fun.
It's weird that... After the opening bit, the first story goes, it's Luke crashing on Dagobah.
Yeah.
And you take out a lot of the dialogue that's removed from the movie. And the first thing that Luke says is to R2, ready for some power.
Yeah.
And I'd never really taken any notice of that line before, but because it's sort of like the first line in your version of the movie, I'm like... Yeah. Oh, yeah, R2's getting a little charge here. He's a little iPhone getting cranked up.
I don't know if you noticed the sound effects are different too in this version because...
Oh, no, I didn't.
To replace the music, you have to basically rebuild a lot of the sound design around the dialogue you can keep. So
how do you rip out the dialogue without the music?
you have to separate the 5.1 surround channels,
mm-hmm.
and generally the center track with all the dialogue on it only has like a minimal amount of music or no music. That's like the gold mine for a fan editor. If you pull out that center track and all you've got is dialogue, but sadly with Star Wars, there's a lot of John Williams music in that center channel. Okay. So you got to get a bit clever. Like you can put music over the top, but you're still going to hear it. So I've just done a remix actually of version 2 now, and I've managed to go in
the
and
remix. Actually,
yeah, and pull out even more of that spill using another program, and I'm finally content to rest. Let it rest.
And another like obvious huge change is Yoda is subtitled.
Yes, that's all Pai Mei from Kill Bill Volume 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was a tedious exercise. It all comes from someone making a suggestion. Hey, why don't you dub out Yoda with Pai Mei? That'd be funny. And then, yeah, cool. But then it's tedious hours upon hours of cutting and pasting little bits of dialogue. But, yeah, look, people get a laugh out of it, so I think it's worth it.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. I loved in the Phantom Edit how they made the Nemordians have that other language.
That's a good idea.
It
makes them a bit less racist.
Yeah. There was a bit more of that in the original trilogy of just people just dropping some other languages.
Alien languages, yeah. And you get humor out of that too because other people can interpret it, like when Han interprets Chewie or C-3PO interprets R2. Like, it's good. It's good if you've got a language you don't understand.
Yeah. And I always love that, you know, Jabba just talked his own language and wasn't gonna dumb it down.
Totally. I hope we get more of that.
I like that in the Hoth segment, Luke, it just starts with him hanging upside down in the Wampa cave.
Yeah.
And he sort of just wakes up and looks around and then sees the Wampa, you know, munching away. And it changes the... It's like he's just had the biggest night ever. And he's just...
After a bender.
And he's just like, whose bedroom's this? Looks over at the Wampa and like, oh, what have I done?
Too much blue milk.
And then has to go on the harshest walk of shame ever through Hoth.
That is such a good interpretation. I love that.
But just the way he just wakes up and just like, because you haven't been filled in with what has happened prior, it is quite brutal. I think what makes it so cool, like the whole project is super cool, but there's a few little segments where you could just put them up on YouTube as like a video clip sort of thing. And the way that Darth Vader is introduced with that is what movie's font is that? Is that Kill Bill font?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's I think it's the Pulp Fiction font actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's so badass.
Yeah.
It's just like just the way it's all been reinterpreted, and you use like some of Ben Kenobi's like voiceover.
As he talks about Vader
in Star Wars,
who he is.
Yeah,
it's Inglourious Basterds was the way that's referenced. Have you seen that movie?
I have. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but one of the characters is introduced, and it's just like bang, this big font on the screen, and then you get this little backstory of this kick-ass character, and then it returns to the action. I was like, that's awesome. So Darth deserves such an entrance.
Yeah, and so how long, like, many hours do you think you put into doing this?
Couldn't tell you, but it took me over a year to make the edit.
Yeah.
I didn't do it full time, obviously, but hours and hours and hours. And, you know, it's a labor of love, though. I love it. I love it. It's like adult Lego. I get to just create and play around and make things in a way that I couldn't back then because it requires all this, you know, learning. But it's just, yeah, it's pretty satisfying once it's done.
And was this the first one that you did?
No, I've done a few before this. I started with Indiana Jones 4, tried to fix that shit heap.
Yeah, you should have deleted the file.
Yeah, almost. but yeah, the plan there was to go back and put in the Raiders of the Lost Ark soundtrack and cut out all the things that made me want to vomit in my mouth.
Yeah.
Tried that. Did an edit of Where the Wild Things Are, remixed that, put a whole bunch of new songs in, and Pulp Empire was number 3.
And the whole thing with that Indiana Jones film, which I think tells a story, is I've never watched it again.
It's gross. Yeah.
I saw it at the cinema and then like didn't even, when it came out on DVD and Blu-ray, didn't even kid myself that I was going to watch it again and buy it and have it sit there.
Yeah. Well, look, I don't know if the edit would help. I think it would a bit, but you might not love it still. It's pretty, it's just so bad.
Probably the coolest bit of the whole edit is the Luke Jedi training montage to David Bowie's ground control to Major Tom. Cool. It's so, like, I really don't like juxtaposing Star Wars into modern life. Like, I can't stand the T-shirts where the Stormtrooper's playing the guitar or anything.
I just like, no.
But to have it reinterpreted Star Wars with this sort of, like, sort of film clip montage vibe, man, it's cool.
Yeah, I love that bit. I mean, that's Luke's story there, and it goes back through A New Hope and all of his, what led him to the point of training with Yoda and why he's there and what motivates him. And
it's interesting and maybe has more power because Star Wars doesn't really have flashbacks.
Mm.
And you use a lot of, like, vision and dialogue from Star Wars, like, in the montage, which sort of reminds you of things that you've learnt before about the characters.
Mm, totally. I got told off for that bit, though, because for a few reasons, but one of them was that I'd used the special editions explosions of Alderaan and the Death Star.
Because,
you know, the purists out there really enjoyed your edit, but how dare you put those explosions in? So, in version 2, I've actually put the original explosions back in again.
Oh, you've succumbed.
Threat. I have. It's pressure. I mean, there's a lot of hate for the special editions, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of hate for everything.
Yeah. I heard in one of your episodes you try and keep these things positive. I think that's a good plan.
Yeah, I can just let it go.
Yeah.
It's just the one, like, we've only just met, but there's so much in my life that I can't let go.
To hear the full episode, along with hundreds of hours of bonus content, I would invite you to check out the Steel Wars Patreon page at patreon.com/Steel Wars. For just $3 a month, you get a dedicated RSS feed that easily pastes into any podcast app you use, sending the complete archives of Steel Wars episodes along with bonus Patreon exclusives like movie commentaries, Q&As, and shows like the Making Steel Wars show, which I make exclusively for Patreon members with Jason Ward of MakingStarWars.net, where we try to find the news behind the news. Plus, you'll get the bonus segments from the call-in shows, which sometimes can be over an hour. And as well as all the bonus content, you get that warm glow that you are supporting this show you listen to each week. The idea behind Patreon is if lots of people chip in a little bit of cash, that content producers such as myself can still keep producing for you guys while still being able to feed our very cute Ewok-looking cats. There's a hungry cat involved in this, guys! As well as some sweet, sweet content. Check out all the super fun tiers and all the shows you're missing out on at patreon.com/Steel Wars. And may that force be with you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.